Well, I'm glad you can listen. I know church is serious, preaching is serious, and I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, there'll be enough mud holes and enough hospital visits and enough sad phone calls. Billy Kelly said you might as well smile when you can, laugh when you can. And the Bible does say a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, amen. And it does. It'll help you to laugh, amen. And it will. And I appreciate God's goodness toward us. You can go ahead and be turning to the book of John in chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And as you're turning, I do want to tell you how much we appreciated the service this morning. We got some help. And that's really what we come to the house of God for, is to get help in these last of the last days. And I appreciate God's goodness toward us, letting us be with you. And I do want to be a blessing to you tonight. And thank you, preacher, for your hospitality, the visitation of the Holy Ghost this morning made the trip worthwhile. I'm telling you, when God shows up, it doesn't matter what happens as long as the Lord comes and ministers to us. And he did that this morning in a great and mighty way. I appreciate Brother Ricky. And I know we had to get on down the road there. And I appreciate him. And just good fellowship that we've been had, the kind words of everybody here and the encouragement. And we appreciate that. And I mean that with all my heart. I'll read the scripture here and let you be seated. John chapter number 6. This miracle is the only one of Christ's miracles that is recorded in all four Gospels. But only the book of John tells us that it was a lad. And I'm not preaching on that lad, but I can say this scripture shows us that there's no such thing as a big Christian and a little Christian. There ain't no five-star generals in this outfit. Everybody saved, got saved by the same grace that saved the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus. We may get too big for God to use. They won't none of us ever be too small. But John chapter number 6, verse 9, y'all know this is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and there's been speculated maybe 20,000 there if you included everybody's wife and children there. The Bible said in John chapter number 6, verse 9, said there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. Verse 12 said, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet, that should come into the world. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm going to get me a drink of this water. If you're going to plow a mule, you got to give him something to drink. Amen. So, brother, I appreciate you handling that water for me. Amen. Let me get me a drink. Praise God. We ate good today. Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. It is. You ever seen anybody when they get a drink? I mean, probably y'all ate good today and then you had your Baptist siesta. And some of you got the cotton mouth and you wanting to drink. I've been in camp meetings and you sit there all day and the moderator says, nobody move, nobody can leave the building, nobody go anywhere and do anything anytime. And the only people that get a drink of water is the preacher. And when they get it, they don't get a quick drink. Everybody's sitting out there, it's about 3:30, you feel like you're in Matthew 24, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And it's just like, let me run a rabbit here. I was up in Maryland and they had a September 11th, celebration. Well, not a celebration, you know, a memorial. And, there was a, gonna be a congressman there and several people of government in Maryland. And, asked me, you have any experience, preaching in front of, people that are political? I said, my wife said, yeah, you can tell them. Said, yeah. I said, you preached in several preachers' fellowship. And so, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know, but what I was talking about is, you get a drink, and I tried not to tantalize you there, but you get a drink like this right here.
Yeah.
What that's going to make y'all do is say, man, I wish he'd hurry up before I can get me a drink. So I promise you, I'll preach fast if y'all listen fast. And I won't give you a filibuster tonight if I can find my handkerchief. Where's that at? Every time I can't find that thing. There it is. Hallelujah. I've got it. All right. All right. Preacher, thank you for your trust. I mean that. And I appreciate the preaching that I've heard from you, pastor, here. John chapter number 6. And I want to look at verse number 12. Now, we know that the Lord obviously is the best teacher that you could ever learn any lessons from. And we've heard a lot of preaching out of John chapter number 6 on the Lord. And how the Lord just showed up. And when they got it into His hands, He took care of it. And I'm glad Jesus will make a difference. I've got another message I preach out of here on Jesus knows what to do. I'm glad Jesus does know what to do. He knows how to satisfy a crowd. And so we can look at the Lord, or we could preach tonight on the lad, and I've already said that. We could preach tonight maybe on the lunch, how that somebody back at the house packed that boy's lunch. So let me say, Mom and Daddy, keep packing the lunch, because you don't never know what's going to happen one day when you just keep packing the lunch. One of these days that boy's going to meet the Lord, and the Lord will use what He's got for His honor and glory. So I could look at the Lord, and I could look at the lad, and I could look at the loaves, and I could look at all kind of things. But what I want to look at tonight is found in verse number 12. I want to look at them leftovers. The Bible said when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now these fragments, they were really nothing more than broken pieces that the world had had their hands on, and they had gotten what they wanted out of them. But instead of them taking them on with them, He just throwed them down. But the Lord said, wait just a second now. I know y'all don't want them, and I know you ain't got no use for them fragments whatsoever, but I want you to know I'm concerned about them leftovers. I'm glad tonight God's always been concerned about leftovers. I'm talking about fragmented lives, lives torn all to pieces, homes going into shambles. God is concerned about leftovers. Now, I've got one or two or three or five or six, seven, eight, nine, ten people I'm going to mention tonight, and then we'll go to the house. But I got to looking in the Bible. You know, God's not a wasteful God. And that means God is concerned about the things that what we would call useless, what we would call irrelevant, God still can use them for His honor and glory. Listen, God does not take a person and save them not to use them. But listen, I'm glad tonight God is concerned about leftover lives even after you get saved. I'm glad God can still use people and still use them as old leftovers and fragments. You say, how in the world could God do something like that? Listen, I'm living proof tonight in the house of God that God can still use leftovers, and God is concerned about wasted life. Let me say, we hadn't always been in the house of God with the King James Bible in our lap, the love of God in our soul, and a pair of shiny shoes on. Amen. Listen, I remember where I was when God found me and put me in the basket, praise God. I guess that makes us a bunch of basket cases. Amen. But God is concerned about leftovers. And I just got to looking through the Bible how that most people that we see that God used, we would say, you know what, there's no hope for them anymore. But I look at them, and y'all agree with this, I thought about Abraham. Now, Abraham, the father, of course, of the Hebrew nation, he was a man that was rescued from Ur of the Chaldees. God spoke to him alone, Isaiah 51, and God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abram was walking around one day, and he is worshiping the moon god and the sun god and the god for the morning and the god for the evening. And once a month, just right, once walking through there, God said, hey, Abram, get up, get out. He got to looking around, said, who said that? He said, I am Jehovah. He said, leave thy country and thy kindred, and get to a place where I'm going to show you one day. Well, Abraham come in and said, Sarai, get up and get out, honey. Get up. And she said, who in the world have you been talking to, Abram? He said, I talked to somebody today that called me by my name. Said, Sarai, those gods down there at the temple, they ain't never called me by my name.
I said, there's a man named Jehovah. And he called me by my name. And he said, Abram, get up and get out. I got something for you. She said, well, so where are we going? Abram said, I don't know, but I know who's going with us. Amen. And so they got up and went out. Do you know God called that man? Genesis 12, God made him the Abrahamic covenant, which is unconditional, by the way, and which the Jews will have that land one day, just like God had promised. He said, I'll bless him that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. Do you know after God called him out of the earth of the Chaldees, God made him eternal covenant, a blessing of that covenant. Right after that, you know what he did? He didn't go out and tell everybody about the Lord. He went out into Egypt and lied in a time of famine. And he went down there and backslid on God. Hey, listen, you'd think if there's anybody that'd stay right with God, it'd be Abram, that God called him and spoke to him. But it was not Abram. Abram said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down into Egypt in a time of famine. And we know that it's never right to go out in the world when times get tough. It's right to stay in the house of God where God wants you to be. But he went down there and backslid on God. But you know what he did? And that gave us Isaac and Ishmael, and that's what's put us in the shape that we're in today in the Middle East. But you know what Abram did when he came out? After he failed God when his backslid, the Bible said he made himself an altar between Bethel and Hai. Bethel is the house of God. Hai is a heap of ruin. He said, here I am caught in the middle between the house of God and a heap of ruin. But the Bible said Abram called on the name of the Lord, and he got right with God. And let me say, praise God, when you got out of Egypt, he got out of the will of God, he made himself an altar and did get right with God. Then I thought about Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of God's chosen people. He had deceived his father Isaac. He stole his birthright from his brother Esau. I mean, listen, he made covenants with Laban, which was a Syrian. God said, don't make covenants with him, but he did it anyway. But he met God in Genesis 32, and he had a wrestling match that night, and God just wrestled with him. And God said, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. And God said, no, since you have been honest with me, and since you got right with me, and since you've just been honest and said who you was, you said, I'm Jacob, I'm a trickster, I'm a supplanter. God said, since you got honest with me, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to change your name to Israel, which means prince with God. And the prince can get to the king when nobody else can. And so if you'll just get honest with God and say, God, I'm rotten, I'm wicked, I'm ungodly, I'll tell you what God will do. God will say, you're exactly right. But since you got honest with me, I'm going to knock your leg out of socket. And you won't never walk the same again. Hey, if we'll just get honest with God, God will help us and God will bless us. Then I thought about Leah. Leah was, the Bible said she was a tender-eyed daughter of Laban. And now I could preach on what goes around comes around, because Jacob was a liar and he was a deceiver, and he met his match in old Laban. He deceived him, tricked him, and he met this man, and he said, well, I'd like to marry this daughter Rachel here. And he said, okay, well, anyway, he ended up with Leah. Well, the Bible said that Leah was tender-eyed, and she was the daughter of Laban, and the Bible said the Lord saw that Leah was hated. And you know what God did with a woman? I mean, listen, she was not that attractive compared to Rachel. She was not somebody that you'd have picked out of the crowd. But God said, since she is honest, and since she is usable, she might not be the best looking, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch her, and I'm going to help her, and I'm going to bless her, and I'm going to be good to her. All the ugly people say amen right there. Now listen, God, I can take somebody. You may not be blessed with the best looking fella in the block, amen. But I look at my wife over there, and I look at me, and I say, praise God, there is a God in heaven. Amen. I read in the Bible where God struck him with blindness. I guess that's what he did for my wife. Amen. Amen. I thought about Judah. Now, you won't talk about something. This sounds like something off of As the World Burns or something. I mean, here's Judah, one of the sons of Leah and Jacob. Judah had relationships with a Canaanite that was forbidden. He ended up having relationships with his daughter-in-law, who he thought was a harlot. And do you know what God did? You say, did God condone that? Well, we know God don't condone that kind of behavior. That's why we know man didn't write the Bible if he couldn't write it if he would. That's why we know this is a supernatural source from a supernatural force. God tells the truth about him, and God didn't condone what Judah did. But God said, I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to take somebody that most of you would have given up on, and most of you would have just said, there ain't no hope for that boy, and I'm going to let my son be born of the lineage of Judah. Will somebody do like that? I'm not saying God approved of it. I am saying God can take failures and mess ups and fragmented lives and still use them, amen. He can. You know, everybody talks about Moses, man of God Moses, great man Moses. And he was a great man, wonderful man. I mean, listen, he was the meekest man in the Old Testament. That's what the book said about Moses. But you know, if you went down to the jail docket down in Alexandria, Egypt, and said, sir, I'd like to see the jail docket from about 40 years ago. Can you let me walk in here and see what? Yes? They said, yes, sir, we sure do. As a matter of fact, that fellow that made all that trouble for Pharaoh, that fellow that led that whole crowd through, and they tell us he led them through to the land of Canaan, I mean to the land of the wilderness, and talk them through the Red Sea. Do you know that very man? Sir, yes, we got a jail docket. That man's name's Moses, ain't it? It sure is. Sir, can you show me the list of first-degree murderers that you've had in this town? And they went through and read all the names of the people that was guilty of first-degree murder in the land of Egypt. And sure enough, there's Moses' name. Do you know God let a man that was guilty of first-degree murder write, thou shalt not kill? But if you tell me God don't have grace for the roughest, meanest, most rugged person, buddy, you don't know the God I know. I've seen God take an old drunkard and take a beer bottle out of his head and put him in the house of God. I've seen God take a harlot, put her in the Sunday school, telling kids about the B-I-B-L-E. Praise God, I've seen God take a gambler and take him and put money in a Baptist offering plate. Praise God. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, God's got grace. God's concerned about leftovers. Glad he doesn't give up on old Moses. God took him and used him, amen. I thought about Rahab. Everybody in town knew what she did. Babies don't go around that woman's house now. She's not a good woman. She's a bad woman. Stay away from her. No doubt the people pointed and said, right there she is. Stay away from her. But you know what? God put the fear of God in that woman's heart. And she took those spies in. God said, tell you what I'm going to do. She said, please, let me get my mom and daddy. Let me get my family. I said, tell you what we'll do. And we'll destroy everybody around here but you if you'll just take us in. And she turned to the God of Israel. And God judged that place of Jericho. And the only place standing was that old harlot's house. Well, they rescue her and they take her in as a stranger, her and her family. Now, this is how it had to happen. Well, she goes through and she comes into the country there. And they say, yeah. Now, no doubt, some of them said, yeah, right there's old Rahab now. And now we know what she did. We know what she was. Well, she gets to walking around one day, and as a fellow looks at her, said, who is that? They said, that's Rahab, Dad. And we know what she did over yonder in the land of Jericho. And they said, sir, what's your name? He said, my name's Salmon. Salmon. And Salmon gets to looking over there and said, well, I tell you what, I think she's pretty. I'd like to make her my wife. And Rahab said, what's his name? And they said, that's Salmon. She said, I don't want to marry a man named Salmon. And then she gets looking at it and said, well, I guess I will. And God put them together. Now listen, I'm going somewhere. She marries that man by the name of Salmon. Well, they come together, they are married, and she conceives a boy by the name of Boaz. Boaz, he just so happened would grow up one day, and the Bible said he was a mighty man of wealth. And he just so happened to be over all the land. Well, about that time, he looks out yonder and says, who is that? They said, that's old Ruth, a Moabitess. He says, a Moabitess. Now, that come from an ancestral relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. Yeah, Boaz, you can have anybody you want. You can take anybody you want. He said, yeah, but they just something about that old girl out yonder. They something about that old leftover that nobody else wants. See, you don't understand, Boaz says this. Boaz says, when I was a little boy, my mom would say, Boaz, listen, son, I just got a feeling that God's going to bless you, and I believe the Lord's going to do something with you, son. There might be a time in your life where they might be a down and outer just like your mama was. Because, Boaz, I hate to admit this, son, but me and your daddy ain't always been together. And I hadn't always been associated with the God of Israel. Son, I remember a day when I should have died without God. But God had mercy on me. And God let me meet your daddy. Son, there's going to be a day in your life. You might meet somebody out there who needs a little help. I believe Boaz said, yeah, she don't look too good to y'all, but I know that. I know she don't look good. But I remember my mama said, son, they might come a day where you can be good to one of them old fragments out there. And he said, hey, I'll tell you what do, boys. Leave us some out there, some handfuls of purpose. And she gets to gleaning around. But I like this. She got the handfuls and got them together and took them down to Naomi. Naomi said, hey, where in the world have you been? She said, the man gave me this as Boaz, and I got news for you, Naomi. He owns everything. He's in control of it all. And buddy, I'm telling you, God saved that woman, hooked her up with Boaz. Well, here they go, and she gives birth to a boy by the name of Obed, who is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. Buddy, you couldn't script that. You couldn't put that in a book except this book. Buddy, I'm telling you, God can take people that we give up on. You say, I've got a boy that's not in church. Buddy, I was that boy. You say, I've got a daughter that's not in the house of God. Buddy, I've seen God put homes back together. I've seen them come into church. Get right with you. You say, hey, you don't know what they've done. Buddy, I'd take you in this book and show you a lot of more demented lives than me and you got. And praise God, God put them together. Amen. God specializes in leftovers. Amen. You say, what are you doing now? I'm a breathing preacher. If I don't, I'm going to pass out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I left my public job. The devil said, you're going to starve to death. Every once in a while, I say, hey, let me now, big boy. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't care if gravy goes $5 a sop, amen, we're going to be sopping, hallelujah. Amen, God take care of the children. All right. Amen, I thought about old Mephibosheth. Now we preach about Mephibosheth, shout about Mephibosheth. He is the boy that David said, is there anybody in the house of Jonathan, house of Saul, that I may show kindness to? Well, here he is, and he's no crippled boy. Probably never did have a bath. There's a man over there by the name of Maker, and said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take care of this old boy to the day that the king. Man, they so much preaching. Y'all preach all this. I mean, listen, he said, I'm going to take care of this old boy to the day that the king sends for him. Well, here's the king David. He said, yeah. I said, go get him. I remember when the Holy Ghost came to where I was and put me in that chair of grace and brought me to the king's table. And listen, Mephibosheth sits down, probably was the only leftover that the king had ever had sitting at his table. Now, how many, praise God, amen, about leftovers. Hallelujah. You know, I've had some people complain about leftovers. I've heard them say, well, Brother Randy, we just going to have leftovers. I said, well, that's all right, because banana pudding ain't good till it sits a while. It ain't good till it's left over a day or two. I mean, sometimes it takes us to realize where we was and to make us useful to God and get us to a place where we realize where we ought to be without Him. Amen. Amen. Oh, Mephibosheth. Then I thought about King David. Now, I know that King David had it all and he blew it. He made a mistake. God had sent the message of Nathan to David in 2 Samuel 7. Nathan said, I'm going to give you this covenant. Here's what God says about it. House, throne, kingdom. Again, that's unconditional. He said, David, there's going to be somebody that's come from your lineage. He's going to rule and reign here. God made him that covenant, and God sent that man down there, Nathan, knowing that just a few months later, the same David that God made that covenant to, that eternal promise, that same David, I was going to mess up with Bathsheba. And everybody knew what David had done. And now listen, no doubt, probably, one of the most unwise of where I'm from, we just say the dumbest things that you could do. I said, David, why in the world? I read it, I know what he's going to do. I'm like, David, how in the world? Why would you give it all up over something like this? You've got it all. I mean, you're the king. Why would you do that? One of the most ignorant things that anybody's ever done. Just dumb. I'm like, David, don't do it. You're smarter than that. I've wondered people's lives. Why in the world did they do what they've done? Then I've looked at my own life. And listen, I can say, man, I've done some dumb things. I mean, I hate to say that, but I've done some things that was just dumb. It shouldn't have been done. But you know what God did? God took one of the dumbest things in the whole wide world that had ever been done. And I understand that the child that Bathsheba had, I understand that child died. But you know the next child that was born between David and Bathsheba was a man by the name of Solomon that was the smartest man to ever live. Buddy, I'm telling you, God specializes in taking bad things, taking fragmented lives, taking things and mess ups, and turn them around for His honor and His glory. I'm just telling you, God can take bad things and turn them into good things because He specializes in leftovers. God took a boy with a bad home life. You know, I've had people say, well, now, Brother Randy, you don't understand. I had this traumatic thing that happened to me as a child. But that thing will affect you. And I thank God, God's blessed me with good mom and daddy, and I appreciate that. But some of you may not have that. Some of you may have had a traumatic event that had happened to you as a child that will scar you and work on your mind. And my heart goes out to people like that. But you know, I can look in the Word of God in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, where there's a man by the name of Korah. And he rose up against the man of God, Moses. And the Bible said that God said, hey, Moses, you tell everybody to get away from Korah, get away from the tents around him. He said, I'm going to judge him. Well, the next day, God sent the judgment, and Korah's family was swallowed up, literally, and these boys watched their mama and daddy die without God. Now listen, you talk about a traumatic event, but you know those boys were preserved, and God judged that crowd, but somehow, some way, God preserved the sons of Korah. Well, one of those boys had a boy by the name of Asaph. Do you know who Asaph was? Asaph gave us many of our psalms that we have. And Asaph wrote in Psalm 84:10, said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. No doubt his granddaddy said, son, there was a time when my family went against the man of God, but God in his grace and mercy preserved me. He preserved you. He preserved your daddy. And I tell you what, son, we ain't going that way. Yes, it tore me up, and yes, I still have battles, and I still hear the cries in the night, but I'm telling you, God changed my heart when I said we ain't going that way. I just believe we'll stay with God's man and go with God. Listen, I'm telling you, God can take bad things that happened to you as a child and still use you to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody else. Your life's not over because that has happened to you. God's concerned about leftovers. Jonah, God took that boy down and said, I want you to go down there and I want you to preach to them Ninevites. He didn't want to go. He didn't like them. He disdained them, the Bible said. But you know what he did? He rebelled against God. And God sent him down to seminary down at Whale University, amen? And God sent him down there, and buddy, when he got out, I mean, you talk about a dynamic message. He come out and said, yeah, 40 days, Nineveh should be destroyed. I mean, that's all we read about it. How that God used this man and gave Jonah a second chance. Thank God tonight for second chances and third chances and 999th chances that He still works on us and He still shows us grace and He still shows us mercy. You saying God condoned that? God condones disobedience? No. I'm saying that God is still concerned about you, even though you think your life's over with and you can't be used of God. If you are alive, you can be used of God. Amen. You know what? Samson, God blessed him. Man was strong, went down the devil's barbershop, and everything was over, we think. He's down there, and the Philistines make sport of him. And he says, Lord, if you could just use me one more time. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray only this once. He said, God, would you touch me one more time? And old Samson put those arms on the pillars of the Philistines, and he took more out at his death than he did his entire life. Buddy, I'm telling you, I'm glad God don't give up on us. Listen, I'm not condoning sin, and I'll get to that here in a second, but I'm telling you, there ain't nobody in here. If you are alive, if you are saved, God can still use you. And if you're not saved, God wants to use you. God is concerned about leftovers. Oh, Elijah. We preach about Elijah. Mighty man of God, Elijah. And he was. I mean, man, that man prayed. It wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. God answered his prayer and he didn't do it. He prayed again and God opened up the heavens and it rained. Well, here's this man. I mean, I'm talking about, hey, if we'd have seen him. And I've heard people say all this side, well, Elijah, he didn't get depressed. And they said, I ain't never been depressed. I said, no, your problem's lying. Amen. Amen. There's been time in my life, I'm just being honest with you. I could have sat down on a piece of paper and hung my feet off. Amen. Buddy, I'll tell you what, I got down, and most time it was my fault looking at myself. When I look at self, I should get depressed. I mean, when I look at me. Now, no doubt that's what Elijah did. He got to looking at his situation, and the Bible said he wished, he really wished that he was not alive. I mean, you know what God did? Now listen, I know some folks that went down there and said, Elijah, you saw a thing, you. God touched you. God bless you. You've prayed. You've prophesied. God's used you like no other man of the day. And here you down there having a pity party. Get up, you sorry. No. You know what God did? God sent an angel down there to him. And you know what the angel said? Said, Elijah, get up and get you something to eat. I read that and I said, praise God. That must have been a badness for sure. He said, because I know that boy's going to want something to eat. And God sent that boy a meal, and he ran on that street for 40 days. Buddy, I'm telling you, your life is not over. Your life is not over. God is concerned about leftovers. Man, I got a bunch of them. I really do. And the Gospels, God took a harlot. John 4. And used her to get a lot of people to Jesus. He took a former demoniac, made all men marvel. He took a backward fisherman who cussed and denied the Lord, let him preach 3,000 get saved. Amen. Let him walk on the water. Jesus saved lepers. He saved the blind, the lame, the sick. I mean, I'm talking about the leftovers, the deaf and the dumb. I mean, he saved a woman taken in adultery and said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. The greatest illustration in the New Testament of forgiveness is the prodigal son. He blowed everything. Hey, his daddy took care of him, blessed him. The prodigal son went out yonder and wasted everything that he had. Listen to me, young people, listen. You're going to take some things and you'll think you'll have a good time out yonder, and you're going to live it up, but you won't never live it down. And you'll come back and you'll find out you'll be empty. You'll find out all the devil's apples has got worms in them. You'll find out all the devil's promises are negated. You'll find out all the devil's billboards have got another sign, and it all ain't all great, and it ain't all wonderful, and it ain't all party time. You'll find all that out, all right? This old boy went back. He said, I tell you what, I thought I'd find my freedom, and all I found is bondage. But he said, make me one of thy hired servants. He wanted to be in bondage and found his freedom. He said, Father, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to say I've sinned. And I've done all these bad things. But when his father saw him a great way off, he just ran to him. I mean, that old boy still had the smell of hogs on him. And the father said, welcome home, son. He said, hey, bring me that ring in here. He said, I'm not afraid to let that boy know that he belongs to me. And I give him that promise of eternity. I'll put that ring on. As a matter of fact, bring forth the best robe. Don't you bring that George robe we got hanging up back there that we got for $3 on the clearance rack. He said, I want you to bring that real nice cashmere robe and put on that boy that's got me and say, hey, y'all run back there and get that big black baldy that we've been feeding hammered corn here for about 6 weeks. Got all that grass taste out of him. Bring him in and put some shoes on that old boy's feet. You know what he did? He reamed him, he robed him, he reboxed him, and he rib-eyed him. Amen. And you know what God did? God showed us the illustration that if you'll come back with humility, and if you'll come back with a repent of heart, God will treat you good. Now listen, you know what God does? God don't jump on you when you come back home. That boy lost a lot. He could never get back. And that is what I want. And listen, I got a long introduction and a very short message. Amen. That's what happens now. The leftovers. First of all, these leftovers were rejected. Look back in the text. The Bible said when they were filled, he said under the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. I've got so much liberty, I can't keep up with my mouth. Amen. He said, gather up the fragments that remain. See, they were rejected. These leftovers were throwaways. Nobody wanted them. They were walked on. They were trampled. They were dirty. They were defiled. Being a reject does have its consequences. Being a leftover and being a fragment. You know, a lot of times we say God will, and we know, listen, I know, I thank God for forgiveness. And I've showed that tonight. But I'm telling you, listen, young people, there are people in here tonight. They would give anything to have the testimony you've got. the testimony you've got, so you've known some amazing grace, and a preacher preaching about Jesus, and a King James Bible, and mama getting you to the house of God. There are people in here tonight that were fragments and were leftovers, and they've got scars, and they've got mental battles, and they've got issues in their life that they will battle to the day they die. Proverbs 13:15 said, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Being a leftover and being a reject does have its consequences. I promise you tonight, there's probably a poker game going on where a man says, if I can just hit the jackpot one time, if I can just get it one time, everything will be fine. He's already spent his paycheck from Friday, and by the time Monday or Tuesday rolls around, he'll be bumming gas money the next Friday. And I guarantee you, there's a tavern tonight. I know we're right down the road from West Georgia. I know there's people, things that they'll go out tonight and they'll get drunk, get five or six teeth knocked out, get up in the morning, can't even tell you what they did. And they'll go right back out and do it because they cannot break free. Now listen, the devil does not show you that side of the world. I'm telling you, it has its baggage. They say, well, maybe I'll hit it big tomorrow. Maybe I'll hit the lottery tomorrow. Listen, you don't need to hit the lottery, sir. You just need to get you a good dose of heaven sent Holy Ghost salvation and meet the Lord, and He'll take care of you. Amen. I remember hearing this illustration about a man, and he was so enslaved to alcohol and strong drink. He had gotten so enslaved, and he had left home, and he had a wife and children. He had become so enslaved, he had a child. That child had passed away. And they sent word to him and said, Mel, said, you got to get home. Said, the youngest child has died, and he was in a drunken stupor. And he went down there and went to where the child laid and came in and snuck in where the child was laid and took the shoes off the baby and took them back down out of the tavern and said, bartender, I got to have another drink. See, that's what strong drink does. That's the delusion of the devil. That's what the liquor crowd, and listen, they'll promise you everything. And they'll say, boy, you can have a good time. Let me say something. I'm having a good time right now. Praise God, I didn't get me a drink. I didn't quit drinking. I just switched fountains, honey. I'm telling you, if everybody got what I got, I'd shut Budweiser down. I'd shut down every dope dealer in Carroll County, amen. Praise God. Hey, you can't get what I got in the bottle, praise God. You get what I got in the gospel, hallelujah. He took the shoes in and said, bartender, gotta have another drink, gotta have another drink. He said, Mel, what's wrong with you? Man, you've lost your mind. And he remembered the old story that he had heard as a little boy. Now that woman had said, Mel, you're gonna get out and there's gonna be some things that'll happen to you. But I promise you, if there comes a day in your life where you've hit the very rock bottom and you have nowhere else to turn, I promise you, Jesus will take you just like you are. And he remembered the story, how a Savior came from glory and how he died on the cross in his place and shed his blood to give him forgiveness. That man's name was Mel Trotter. He became one of the greatest evangelists that this country has ever known. He would go down and he got saved. He would go down to that grave of that baby. And every time he would go down there on that baby's birthday, he'd find himself an empty liquor bottle. He would go down to that gravestone. He'd take that empty liquor bottle and say, thank God, and hit that stone with that bottle and say, thank God the Rock of Ages broke the bottle. Buddy, I'm telling... Oh, hold on just a minute. I tell you what you need. You don't need a drink. You need Jesus. You don't need a hit. You need Jesus. You don't need a joint. You need Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Amen. You put that cigarette up, I told you. Amen. One of them deacons just talking about us. Amen. I'm just telling you. Amen. They were rejected. They were rejected. Alcohol will leave you discouraged. Drugs will leave you empty. Gambling will leave you depressed. Idolatry will leave you lonely. Jesus will leave you never. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you. God's concerned about leftovers. He's concerned about leftovers. They were rejected, but I like this. They were remembered. Everybody else forgot about them but one. And the only one that remembered was the only one that matters. You say, well, I live in a small town. They know what I did. Listen, I remember preaching out on the streets one time, and I didn't know fetch from sickum. I was just trying to tell them, you know, the best way I could. I was quoting scriptures, wasn't judging them, wasn't telling them all this. So I'm just trying to share some scripture with them. This girl come by and said, I remember you. She started bringing up some things in my past. I live in a small town. All these preacher boys standing around, and man, I was embarrassed. I got to reading in the Bible one day in Hebrews chapter number 10. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. He said, I'll put their laws in their hearts, in their minds, when I write them. When I read this verse, I mean, I'm talking about 40,000 gallons of galvanized glory come down. It said, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And God said, I don't even know what she was talking about. Listen, I'm telling you, you say you don't know what everybody said, and the only one that has forgotten about it is the only one that matters. But they were remembered. Listen, we're on the road some. And, you know, I mean, you tell by looking, hey, man, I like to eat. I mean, I do. My wife don't. I mean, look, I mean, she don't. Look at, I mean, she's perfect. Get my shoe out of my mouth here. But sometimes, you know, we'll cook a meal and we'll have to go somewhere. Well, we'll come in and I'll forget about it. You know what? We'd be gone maybe a week. And I'll come in, I'll be working or something like that there at my place, and I'll come in, it'll be lunchtime, and they're gone or somewhere, and I can't find nobody. And I'll get to digging around in yonder, and I can't remember when exactly it was cooked. And so I'll get to digging around there, and I'll get to looking, and I'll dig. I said, man, I remember that right there. And I'd open it up and look in, and it'd be, la, 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 la. I mean, I'm talking about glowing in the dark. I'd be like, man alive. Honey, they'll lock you up. You can't grow penicillin. That's illegal. There's been times I've got it and opened it up. And I've looked at it. And I mean, I'm talking about the smell. And then I run out. Y'all know what I'm talking about when you got the scrap pile. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, where you dump it over the fence. I run out there like no, bless God, I'm just going to leave the bowl out here. Amen. Praise God, it's Tupperware. Hallelujah. Leave the bowl and everything. It don't matter. Amen. You know what? I could have gotten some good out of it. We forgot about it. We left it alone. We forgot about them leftovers. But I'm glad God don't ever forget about the leftovers. God don't leave you on the back shelf somewhere and say, well, you make it the best way you can. I tell you what God will do. God will come around in a Sunday morning service somewhere in Bowden, Georgia. I'm not talking about Atlanta, Chattanooga, Nashville. I'm talking about in Bowden, or Bowden, if I've heard something. Now, y'all don't say that. Y'all say Bowden. But I'm glad God can stop on the side of the road somewhere, preacher. And pick up one of them old leftovers and say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I know some of their families forgot about them. I know some of their friends that's forgot about them. But I'm their father and I ain't forgot about them. And he'll just pour the glory on you, and you know you don't deserve it. You know you don't merit it, but he's just good to you anyway. You say, why? Because he remembers you. Amen. Now like this. Jesus said, pick them all up. He said, gather them up. Gather up the fragments that remain. Let nothing be lost. He wanted every one of them saved. I'm glad for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. Now I'm going to give you a Greek lesson tonight. Y'all ready? Now y'all can tell I'm a Greek scholar, can't you? Amen. I mean, listen, y'all can tell that. Y'all write this down now. If you have a pen, write this definition down. If you have a pen. Whosoever, in that verse, you know what it means? It means whosoever. That's what it means. Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. See, he wants them all in. He wants them all. That preacher was talking about this morning when the preacher was talking about that old boy with the long hair and tattoos. That old boy that nobody else wants. You know what God can do? God can take that old boy. You know what my wife has the ability to do? My wife can take them leftovers and make a brand new dish out of them. You don't even recognize where they come from. You just say, boy, that sure is good. But she said, well, that's that stuff we had. That's that goulash that we had left over the other night. I mean, 17 nights ago. But I'm just kidding. She said, that's the dish we had just the other night. Really? Yeah. Well, it tastes different. It looks different. Yeah. But I just found this recipe, and I found the right ingredients to go in it to make it a brand new dish. I'm glad God can take him on leftovers, and he knows how to put in a little grace and a little mercy and a little long suffering and a little forgiveness and a little goodness and a little blessing and say, I'll turn him into a brand new dish. Let me say something to y'all tonight. Hey, if we looked at your photo album, you'd look like Sonny and Cher reunited. But here you are in the house of God by the good grace of God, saved, couldn't go to hell if you wanted to, because God knew exactly what to add to your life. Hey, the Bible said he beautifies the meek with thy salvation. Buddy, I'm telling you, it's amazing to watch God how to take somebody that the whole outfit's give up on, save them by his grace, put them in the house of God, and have them saying hallelujah. They were remembered. And I'm done here. They were reusable. They were not the original. They were not the original. But they were reusable. You say, what did they do? Well, the Bible said, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together. Now, who's they? That's the disciples. Those are the ones, if you'll read the other Gospels, those are the ones that said, send them away. We can't help them. We don't have enough here to feed them. Send them away. You know why? Because they found a boy with 5 loaves. 2 fishes, and said, that's just enough for us. Lord said, nope. Said, bring them here, and I'm gonna get my hands on them, and I can show you what I can do. Well, now, here are these disciples. You know they didn't do it with joy. The Lord said, hey, where are y'all going? We're going to get something to eat. He said, no. Pick up these fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, you think about this. The disciples, I believe that's talking about the 12 apostles. Here are these boys. They distributed meals. If there was 20,000 people there, can you imagine how many hand-delivered meals that these disciples gave out? Can you imagine that? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of effort. And they're already hungry when they got started. You know they did. Praise God. Amen. Right out, right up, right down, right. Happy all the time. Praise God, we've got to pick up all these leftovers now. We've got to pick up all these fragments. I've give out, and I've give out, and I've give out. I've labored, and here we are. Now listen, he could do this. We've seen him perform the miracles. He could gather them all up himself. Why is he getting me to do this? They didn't understand it when they was picking them up. But I'm going to tell you, when the dust settled and that crowd left, I believe John, listen, y'all know this. If you had a lunchbox when you were a kid, you knew what that lunchbox looked like. You had a G.I. Joe lunchbox, you went and got your G.I. Joe lunchbox. You know that was yours. Well, no doubt, John went and got his basket and started gathering up the fragments. See, there's 12 disciples, 12 baskets. He went and got his basket and started filling them up. I don't know why in the world that I'm having to do this. I don't know why I'm having to go to this church.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm having to preach this message at this time. It looks like it'd make more sense if I preach this message. The Lord said, no, I want you to give that one out.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Don't make no sense. I'm going to tell you the hardest thing a preacher will ever do is preach it pretty tight and deal with issues when he don't want to and his flesh don't want to. The toughest thing to do sometimes is get up there and preach what God tells you to preach, because you know that some people are going to be affected. And they won't know your motive. And you don't want to hurt nobody. But the toughest thing is doing what, and listen, they did what God told them to do, and I believe they grumbled when they were doing it. But you know, when everybody left, John said, man, I'm hungry. I wish I had something to eat. We ain't got nothing around here but these old leftovers. And I believe he reached down in that basket and said, tore that piece off and said, boy, he looked pretty bad when I went and got him. Man, that ain't bad. And he reached in there and got him another fragment. Dusted it off, blowed it off, said, man, that tastes pretty good. Eat it again. 5 second rule, way over with, way over with. And he ate from them leftovers. And he was satisfied. See, he'd give out and 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 give out. But God sent him to minister and pick up them old fragments and put them in his basket. Listen, I give out and I give out. And preacher, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I get give out. I say am. I am. Sometimes I can give out from giving out. God will let me meet somebody. Sure. I just so happened to meet Pastor Ken Bowman. Yes, sir. Just so happened to meet him in Livingston, Louisiana, preaching for a man who I met in North Carolina.
Right.
I just so happened to meet Brother Rusty Silvertooth in North Carolina. He just so happened to me to ask me to come to a meeting. And there just so happened to be another preacher that's going to be there. And I just so happened to meet him.
Yes, sir.
And his name's Pastor Ken Bowman. And he just so happened to say, Brother Randy, I'd like for you to come. And I just so happened to come, not on just any day. I'm talking about a day where I needed a touch from heaven. I'm talking about a day that I needed the Holy Ghost to do something in my life, my wife and family's life. And I'm give out and give out and give out and give out. Preaching's been done. God's blessed us real good. And then, preacher, that same man I just so happened to meet over yonder. And God let me drive. I could drive an hour and a half to get here. God let me drive 9 hours to meet somebody. Sometimes you can't figure out what God's doing. He's just doing because He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
Then about that time, preacher starts asking people, would you give word testimony? And one of them old leftovers right here. He'd stand up and say, I want to thank God for saving me. And then one of these other leftovers, he'd start talking about how the food started tasting better. What about that? A leftover. Talking about how food tasted better. Buddy, I ain't kidding you. When I got saved, the stars was brighter. The sun was brighter. The moon looked bigger. Praise God, food tasted better. Water went down a lot smoother. I'm just telling you, everything got better when I got saved. God sent me to a church. Where's some more leftovers? I'm talking about not some of them preachers. I'm talking about just some of them good men, amen. I mean, I'm talking about men and women in churches. You say, I got to have a good church. I got problems in my church. Because you got people. If you got people, you got problems, amen. Amen. I tell you what, buddy, you get empty enough. I mean, listen, you get empty enough. Buddy, you'll be hanging on every word of anybody. Saying, God, just send me a word from heaven. And one of them old leftovers will stand up and say, I sure do want to thank God for saving me. Brother, I appreciate your testimony. I mean, that lit me up. But then I looked over here and seen you had that Georgia Bulldog veiled on. I said, praise God, you know that boy's saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm talking about one of them old leftovers. Get up and start testifying about the goodness of God. Something on the inside says, Randy, get up and go at it again, son. I've got something to help you. I've got something to encourage you. I know you don't I'm about to run again. I know you don't understand. And I know you don't know what I'm doing. But I promise you, son, you give out, you give out. And when you give out, I'll get you up again, amen. I'm just saying, God is concerned about leftovers. You say, you don't know what I've done. Well, I'm going to tell you this. God's let me meet people. I'm talking about criminal records. God saved them and changed their life. They've been some of the biggest blessings to me. I'm talking about ones that got family problems. I'm talking about people that's got issues in their life that they can't nobody fix but Jesus. And I've seen Jesus take them fragments and them leftovers. But you know, your church, your pastor needs somebody just to ag him on, say amen, stay behind him. Your pastor needs somebody like that. Your pastor's wife needs some of you ladies to be an encouragement and a blessing. And just say, I appreciate you staying here. I appreciate your faithfulness. See, you can do, you say, well, you don't know what God, hey, listen, God knew what He is getting when He got us. And God knew what He is doing with them fragments the whole time. He is going to be a blessing to the people who's giving out. Sunday school teacher, you say, well, there's just a handful of kids in my class. One of them children could grow up and end up being your Sunday school or your grandbaby's Sunday school teacher. One of them little old toe-headed boys, one of them little old girls that you think, hey, why? She's from an old broken home. Her mom and daddy ain't in church. Oh, God can take somebody like that. See, God takes nobodies, turns them into somebody. When they go tell everybody about somebody, that'll save anybody. God is concerned about leftovers.